Welcome back to the roundtable. In Nick and Jake, it's 1953. Nick Carraway and Jake Barnes, refugees from Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby and Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises, begin a correspondence that leads to a close friendship and widens to include a bizarre cast of characters. The book by Tad and Jonathan Richards has been recorded as a theatrical audio book featuring the talents of Alan Arkin, Ally McGraw, Ambassador Joe Wilson, Valerie Plame, and many, many others. Tad Richards, in addition to being an author, is the artistic director and former president of Opus 40. He joins us in the studio now. And by phone, we have Ambassador Joe Wilson, former United States diplomat, best known for his 2002 trip to Niger to investigate allegations that Saddam Hussein was attempting to purchase yellow cake uranium. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Tad Richards and Ambassador Wilson to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Nice to be with you.
Thank you. Tad, let us begin with you of how this this whole novel came about, of what the story is you wanted to tell.
Well, it came about in a couple of different ways. My brother John and I had talked for years about what it would be like if these two iconic literary characters of the 20s were to meet middle-aged in the 1950s, what their lives would be like, what would have happened to them in the intervening years. So we talked about this for a long time, and then what really sent us in the direction that it ended up going was actually 9-1-1, was the fact that after 9-1-1, the heart of the world was with America. And unfortunately, our president at the time kind of systematically destroyed that and got us back to being the ugly Americans. And it occurred to us, this is what we were thinking about and writing about in 1953, when the Eisenhower administration comes into power, and the Dulles brothers, Alan, who Ambassador Wilson plays in our audio, and John Foster. After World War II, we were the light of the world. We were the saviors of the world, and then we became the ugly Americans. And we were interested in how that happened, and the seeing it happen again after 9-1-1 made us even more interested. So we started writing.
The book, as the subtitle says, it's an epistolary novel, meaning mostly in letters and documents.
Meaning it's basically letters. Jake Barnes is still a newspaper man. He's the managing editor of the Paris Herald Tribune, so there are editorials by him. But essentially, my brother John and I had collaborated before, but not in a long time. And in our past collaborations, we'd sat down in a room together and hashed out a plot and then gone back and forth taking sections and writing it. But this time, we were on opposite sides of the country. I live here in upstate New York. He lives in Santa Fe. So we wrote the book mostly by email and instant message. And that made the epistolary form kind of a natural. And it turned out to be the best way of doing it because we were able to get in a wide variety of voices.
Well, I'm fascinated by the process because I have four brothers. I love them all very, very much, but I could never work with them. So hats off to you on that. So let us talk about this audio production and then bring in Ambassador Wilson and how he got involved. Was it always your intention from the very beginning of this to make it, do a little bit more with it? And
not really. Actually, we had almost no intention when we started, and everything kind of grew. During the 3 or 4 years that we were trying to sell the novel, we thought, yeah, well, let's do an audio. That'll help sell it. And John, who lives in Santa Fe and knows everyone, asked a few of his friends, starting with Alan Arkin, and including Joe Wilson, and they all said, yeah, you know, they loved the book, they loved the idea, and they would love to do it.
So, Joe Wilson, you said yes to playing the part of Alan Dulles. What was the thought process? Is that a no-brainer, or you say, what am I getting myself into?
No, we thought from the very beginning that it would be an awful lot of fun to do. It's an interesting period of history. It's an interesting way to tell the story of that period. It seemed like a fun project to be involved with. It didn't take a lot of time, didn't take a lot of effort just to read the part, but it was fun to do.
And what was the thought process, Tad, of bringing in people from really all walks of life, not just actors, but people who have clout in this world that you're writing about?
Just the incredible good fortune that when Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame Wilson moved out to Santa Fe, my brother is the local political cartoonist, and I take credit for this. I suggested to him that he do a cartoon of the local welcome wagon meeting the Wilsons and bringing them a yellow cake, as of the yellow cake uranium that mm-hmm. Joe thought it was very funny, and he and John got together and they got to be fast friends.
And with that, when you're in there and recording it, is it you go in, you do your lines? Were you with anyone else, or was it just you and maybe Valerie, or how did that work?
I was with Valerie. We did some of the lines together, then we did some separately, but depending on where we were in the book. And I think even the kids got involved and did a little bit of taping.
Yes, your kids also played roles.
Yeah. Kara Wilson is in it. Trevor
project.
Wilson, yeah. Samantha, yeah. So
yeah, Trevor and Samantha.
So you really that's interesting. So you get everyone gets a little part of it, and that's fun.
Well, it was also particularly interesting, as I said earlier. For me, it's a particularly interesting era, and so the opportunity to give the kids some focus, a project around an era that was, as Tad pointed out. Where we were sitting on top of the world, and how did we deal with it?
Did that era inform you in your career and in your work? I mean, as far as growing up in that era?
Yeah, not only did I grow up in that era, but I spent several years in Europe beginning in the late 50s, so just somewhat after the period that this book is set in. And of course, growing up in that era and growing up in Europe, you spent a lot of time with the American expatriate literary figures, either getting to know some of the minor ones or certainly reading all of them.
Is it easy, do you think, for many of us, and I'll ask this question to both of you, but beginning with Tad, is do you think it's that we have a preset in our minds sometimes of when we talk of earlier generations that there is a built-in nostalgia that perhaps isn't justified?
Yeah, well, in Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris, there's that wonderful thing where he goes back to Paris in the 20s, which is he romanticizes so much, and he meets this girl who's from that time period who romanticizes about La Belle Époque and has
right.
no interest in the time period she's in.
Yes. So it's something that we look back obviously, there are many sayings. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and in hindsight is 20/20, and the list goes on and on. But we look at this at this time perhaps more favorably. And Joe Wilson, did you feel that way at all of looking at this time period, and saying, you know, of obviously knowing the history of it and knowing that it wasn't all that it was, you know, it obviously had its great share of issues as well.
Sure, and I think Tad's right. Woody Allen did a superb film on that, and Tad and John have done a very good book about it.
One of the things that happened in this time period, which we get into, is the CIA's first coup, their first overthrowing of a democratically elected government,
yeah.
was in this era, was in 1953, and that was the Mossadegh government in Iran. And one of the things which they felt at the time, and which we put into our book, is now that we've done this, we will never have any trouble in the Middle East again.
How much were you in the role of Alan Dulles? How much did you know going in, and how much more did you want to know?
Well, you know, having spent a career in the Foreign Service, obviously you understand the history of diplomacy. The extent of that understanding, you know, depends on where you are and what you're working on, and whether it's relevant. Alan Dulles was not terribly relevant in my career, because I spent most of my career in Africa,
right?
With the exception of 2.5 years I spent in Iraq between the Iran-Iraq War and the first Gulf War. I was in charge of the embassy. So in that capacity, obviously, Alan Dulles and the history of the 53 overthrow becomes very interesting and becomes germane. So I did know quite a bit of it from that experience. So reliving it or reciting the lines was fun to do.
And Tad, tell us a little bit about your research and in getting that right with you. And
well, Jonathan. Interestingly, a large part of the research, an important part of the research, is due to you. Because, you know, one of the things that's always interested, things that interested me as people, you know, the response to the book, a lot of people have talked about the complexity of the plot, which always interested me because I didn't think we had any plot at all. We kind of made it up as we went along, and halfway through the book, when we're trying to figure, well, where is this going? We have these wonderful characters. We're developing this situation. And I'm driving down the thruway, and I'm listening to your show, and you are interviewing a guy who's just written a book about Iraq in 1953. And I'm listening. Oh, my God, this is it. This is our time period. This is what pulls the whole thing together for us. And so we developed, you know, on the fly, we developed this plot about the overthrow of the Mossadegh government in Iran being a warm-up for what the CIA really had planned, which was an overthrow of the government of France. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. It's fascinating but it is a fascinating story. And you know, one of the things I love about doing the show is that we find so many chapters of these of history that are sort of you know, set aside, and we don't know a tremendous amount.
But this is why when you write a historical novel, you have to do your own research, because you couldn't possibly tell anyone else what to look for, because you don't know what to look for until you find it a lot of times.
And were you interested in parallels in the sense of, I mean, you talked about 9/11, you talked about different things that were going on in the world. I mean, was it for you, was it a story of parallels, of what we can draw, not just telling that story of what happened in the 1950s, but also to bringing it so we can take something out of it from our present situation?
Yes, I think so. I think there are important parallels. We live in an age now where the issue of sexual identity has become such an important one. And in 1953, and one of the main characters in our book is Christine Jorgensen, who was the first sex change operation. The reason why we brought her in was because Jake Barnes, famously in The Sun Also Rises, has had his sex organs shot off. So now it's 30 years later, and he's been living this for 30 years. What would his life be like? Who could he relate to? And I thought, well, he and Christine Jorgensen would probably have a lot to talk about. So we developed that, and as we were doing the audio, we asked Ali McGraw to play the part of Christine Jorgensen, and she said, you know, she liked it, but she wasn't completely satisfied with it because she felt we didn't really get into the pain and complex emotions of what somebody would, what she must have been going through. And so I did some rewriting with Ali's suggestions, and I think the character became much deeper. And boy, you go to YouTube and you see little film clips of Christine Jorgensen being interviewed, and what an admirable character she was. I mean, she was the Jackie Robinson of her field. And the way she handled herself was amazing.
Joe, did you know that you could get Tad to rewrite your part? See, you had that. Did you know you could play that card?
Had I known that, I would have opted for it. I think he did Dulles very well.
We did rewrite Valerie's in the sense that she wasn't, the character of Claire Booth Luce wasn't in there at all. And when we found out that Valerie would be interested in playing a part, we had to write one in for her. So that's how Claire Booth Luce came into the story.
So you do. It's two very, very separate projects then, in the sense of.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it would almost be as if a movie were made, you know, from a book, in the sense of it's not an audiobook of the.
It's not an audiobook. It's a dramatic production, for voices, and it was a different project, and there were, you know, scenes. The whole book basically is epistolary, but there are parts of the audio that are radio plays that are rewritten as drama. We also did the whole thing, recorded it on an iPhone, in Santa Fe, Boston, upstate New York, Paris, and London, and then edited it all together.
That's fascinating. Well, it's very interesting work. Besides this, what else are you up to, Joe? What's next for you?
I'm doing a lot of work in Africa on projects in East Africa. Principally power projects, bringing affordable electricity to parts of Africa that haven't had it in a while or ever.
And what's next for you, Ted?
What's next for me? I'm working on a novel about the 1920s, and I'm doing a lot of research on that. And I'm working on getting Opus 40's upcoming season.
Always. Yes. Well, you can find out more information. The Ted Richards book, co-authored with his brother Jonathan, is Nick and Jake, an epistolary novel. Ted Richards and Ambassador Joe Wilson, I want to thank you very much for your time and for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you.
Good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Again, to learn more about Opus 40, you can go to their website, which is opus40.org, opus40.org. And, Tad, again, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.